You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
This podcast is brought to you by Voyage AC.
Let's talk about entertaining.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, things are opening up and people are going out more.
Mm-hmm.
But that also means that we're looking at having folks over again, like gatherings and dinner parties. And both those things mean candles. And you know what that means.
Voyage AC.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Free candles and diffusers and everything you want to make your gathering or dinner party beautiful, you need Voyage AC. So how can our listeners find Voyage AC?
You can find Voyage AC at our website at theonlyonepod.com, or you can go to www.voyageac.com directly. That's VOYAGEETCIE.com.
And guess what?
What?
Melanie is willing to give my friends and family discount to all our listeners right now.
What?
That's 10% off everything you buy.
All you need to do is enter the code HUN, that's H-O-N, at checkout.
That's right. All you have to do for 15% off is enter the code HUN when you make your purchase. Voyage AC is the ultimate luxury blend of travel, design, and scents. So, hey, hon, how are you?
I'm good. I got just on my Scott Talks by a very
you
busy
did.
Man.
You mm-hmm. did. We were talking to Apollo Ono, who is an 8-time Winter Olympic medal winner. He's a speed skater. Is it the short speed skate? Is that what it's called?
I think it's called short track.
Short tracks, skating. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What an amazing athlete. And I could feel you chomping at the bit to jump in during my interview because there was just so many commonalities. So I wanted to hear what you thought about Apollo and his interview.
First of all, I think my first soul patch I ever grew was because I saw him with it.
No way.
Yeah, I think 2006 was his second appearance in the Olympics. And I thought, wow, that's cool. I can grow a soul patch. I think I tried a goatee, but he made it cool.
He did.
And if you guys don't know, you got to look up Apollo. He kind of was one of those, I wouldn't say radical, but he didn't fit the bill to be an athlete the way other athletes have been. He kind of came in with long hair, bandanas, goatees. He kind of made it cool to be a speed skater, which I had only seen speed skaters in speed skating suits. They were just super tight, you know, in these little bubbles.
Right.
And he had personality, and he was really good. And the other thing I think that is really important about this interview is at the time of the interview, we are in the middle of the Winter Olympics, and he spoke so clearly about what it takes to be an athlete. You know, we get the privilege to see these athletes for, you know, maybe a couple of minutes at a time, but they've spent their whole life training for this couple of minutes that we get to see them. 40 seconds, I think he said his event was. Just really laid great context to what's happening in the moment. And it's really cool, too, that he, as a celebrated athlete, is reaching back to help other athletes understand mm-hmm. more about what they're facing. He has a book now called Hard Pivot that comes out this month. And the pivot he talks about is going from that hyper-focused athleticism to entering the world entering right. the world of finance, entering the world of education, entering the employment world. And I thought you did a really good job of talking about a lot of that, hon. Was there anything that stood out to you?
What you just talked about, like there's the traditional path, which is, you know, you are a kid who goes to grade school and then middle school and then mm-hmm. high school. High school prepares you for college. College prepares you for life. And that's probably the more traditional path that we know, which more and more people are varying from now. But back in the time when he was talking about, that was what your average person took that path. And he was practicing and competing. Did he say like from age 12? Is that right?
I think a little younger. He was in other sports up until he had chosen speed skating as yeah. his. And I love the childlike first experience with like imagining these speed skaters as samurais with swords yeah. on their feet. And
yes.
that's what drove him to,
right.
You know, sort of participate. And he said he had a very natural relationship with the ice. He was able to have a real
natural. Very unnatural relationship with the ice.
Yes, you do. Yeah. I can't yeah. even imagine. We have no ice except in our freezer here at the house.
Right. And even that's just too cold and slippery for me.
I know. You made me deal with it the other day.
Yes. But I'm just thinking about, to kind of go on a little bit more, like if I could have interviewed him longer, I would have talked more about the traditional path versus the path of the Olympic athlete. And again, like how siloed that is, how insulated that is. You know, you and I talk about podcasting's like operating in a vacuum. That's really operating in a vacuum, right?
Yeah. You know, I had the fortune of living in Park City, and most of the, you know, the U.S. ski team and the U.S. Olympic team is based in Park City. So most of those athletes would come through there. And personally, like I worked in a ski shop, and, you know, it kind of put me on an elevated level with them, meaning they needed things and we had to give them to them. And if you wanted to operate with them, you had to step up. And I got a really firsthand view of a lot of athletes that didn't make it. You know, it seemed like once they made it, once they went to a national event or they went to a world event and they placed, we didn't see them much. They got a specialized team and they got really focused. But there's an onslaught of athletes that literally would be focused towards this goal. And then all of a sudden you would see them not hit the goal. And then they would come work for me at the ski boot shop. And I would have to train them about these skills. And Apollo talked really clearly about how athletes have specific skills that everybody wants. Mm-hmm. But taking those skills from an athletic and a very specialized sport and then trying to reapply them into the world. I remember very distinctly watching people struggle to learn and try to figure out how to place world-class ski jumping into the process of showing up to work on time or being productive right. with it, or being very open with a customer or having personal relationships with people they didn't know. I really just think we all take it for granted. You know, I was looking at how many athletes have shown up on the Wheaties box. That used to be sort of, that yeah. was the goal back in the 80s and 90s, right?
Right. Like
if you've been on a Wheaties box, you made it. And I always just think of, even in professional basketball or football, how many people we see participating at that level, but how many are left in the wake? You know, mm-hmm. how many didn't get to where Apollo got? And, you know, we've seen athletes at world-class levels choose their mental health over the prize, you know?
Yeah, but just recently, I think.
Yeah, you know, actually, we didn't get to talk about this, but there it was because I'm into surfing now, I've been watching the WSL, which is the World Surf League, and they have a world competition, but one of the world champions stepped down this year from competition to work on his mental health. And that was a statement. He was a Brazilian guy. His name is Gabriel Medina.
Mm.
And, you know, that's another hyper-masculine sport where stepping down from competition looks like weakness.
Yeah.
Or lack of focus or lack of training or, you know, somewhere along the way the team thinks they did something wrong, but the athlete chooses self-care over some goal. And
right.
It's really cool to hear somebody talking about that. And again, yeah, I feel like in so many ways, I've seen the backstory to that, living, you know, being an athlete myself and then living in a place where those athletes were trained.
We're going to take just a quick break to tell you about a cool new product that Scott and I discovered. And we'll get back to our guest's amazing Only One story in just a minute.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
You were a swimmer growing up.
Yeah.
And you kind of lived that siloed lifestyle, didn't you?
I did, yeah, I did. Training became, you know, I was a little bit, like, I identified with Apollo's story in that I was a natural athlete. Like, I didn't have to train hard to do well.
Yeah.
But there was a point where the people who were training me were like, you're never going to get to the level, and this is the way I heard it, you're never going to the level we want you to get unless you train like this. And I was 10, 11, 12, and I was like, I couldn't do it. It would be like literally giving swimming 6 to 8 hours a day of some type of training. And I was watching my friends. I thought I was missing out on something, you know? I wasn't as focused as Apollo. Like, did you hear how focused he talked about being
obsessed.
In the interview?
Obsessed and driven, right?
And I always felt like a failure because I didn't have that. But honestly, you and I have talked about it. Like, only a couple of the athletes I ever competed against ended up in the Olympics. Only a couple of the... And the other ones throughout the years, you would hear stories about so-and-so dealt with depression, so-and-so dealt with drug addiction and alcohol abuse, so-and-so ended up in jail. And these were people at the time were the most elevated people in my life, meaning they were placed on a pedestal. They were trained in a way that looked like, you know, privilege. It was obviously privilege, but there was a price you were paying on people's potential. People had investments in you and they had ideas about who you should be. And I very specifically remember a couple of my coaches being like, you're going to be the swimmer I want you to be. And I was like, I was 11, 12 years old. I was like, that doesn't sound right. But I'm going to put you in the top 10 in the state. And I'd be like, well, that'd be cool. And then I would hit that point. Then, you know, more pressure.
And like Apollo's dad, who was his champion, who, you know, drove him to practice at 3:30 in the morning. Your dad was that dad for you,
right? Very much, yeah.
Yeah.
My memories of swimming were, you know, looking up to swim, and there's my dad on the side of the pool, fist pumping.
Yeah.
Buying vans for travel. I mean, he...
That's a big investment.
It was a huge investment, and it made it very difficult to walk away from. Now, I would love to say I walked away from my mental health, but I didn't get healthier after I walked away. Like, I continued, like, something cracked there. You know, it would be years later that I would recall. It did seem like a choice for me at that point because I wasn't happy. And, you know, I still just really admire people who make it to that level, that amount of drive, and they put everything else aside to hit that goal.
Yeah.
But there is this other story that when they re-engage back in life, there's some real challenges and real needs. The last thing I think that he talked about that I wasn't aware of was that there are no programs for athletes who don't, once they quit or stop pursuing the goal of the team or the sport, there is no program set up for them to help them transition back into the normal flow of life.
Mm-hmm. They're not prepared.
They're not prepared. He said the NFL is looking at that. Mm-hmm. Or they already have that.
Yeah.
The NBA, there are other sports that have that in place, but organized like Olympic athletes aren't given that opportunity. So it's a really interesting subject that I hope you guys tune in, listen to it. It's really intriguing. It might, especially if you're listening or watching the Olympics right now, I think it could change your experience.
Totally.
Yeah. And Laura did an amazing job of interviewing him.
Ah, thank you, honey. Thanks, honey. Thanks for doing this. I wanted to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, thank you for letting me express myself. You know, for you guys who don't know, I sit through the entire interview and watch Laura do her thing. It's kind of like walking through a buffet and not being able to pick up any of the food. You're kinda, you know everything you want. You go back rushing through there. You want
to
talk about everything.
You do great, hon. You do great. And this was so right up your alley, so I'm glad we got to do it.
Me too.
Yeah.
I feel so fortunate to have such great guests.
Mm-hmm.
Tune in to Apollo's show. Thank you guys for listening.
See you next time.
We'll see you next time. Hon, before we go, we got to do our big Patreon shout out.
Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Who are we shouting out?
We are shouting out Rose Pricks.
Awesome.
Which is the companion podcast for The Bachelor.
Okay.
So if you have a love-hate relationship with The Bachelor, then the podcast Rose Pricks is for you.
Okay.
Fellow comedians Angel Laquita Moore and Stephanie Wilder Taylor. We love
Stephanie. Stephanie's awesome.
Yes. Dissect the drama, plus have important discussions on race, mental health, and feminism.
Hey, I have an idea.
What?
Can I just listen to the podcast and not watch The Bachelor?
Yeah, you can. Hey. But most of all, Stephanie Wilder Taylor and Angel Laquita Moore keep it real. Real funny,
She is super funny.
Right? Mm-hmm. New episodes drop Monday night or Tuesday morning if they're too tired. Find them wherever you listen to podcasts or click the link in our show notes.
Enjoy the show.
Thank you so much for listening. The Only One in the Room is produced by the creative genius that is Scott Slaughter and edited by the uber-talented polymath Christina Barcy and her team at Avon House Productions. Hey, you're still listening? Good. Please subscribe right now while you're thinking about it, quick, before you forget. And be sure to like and leave us a review of the show. Want to connect with some other Only One listeners? Be sure to join our private Only One in the Room Facebook group or check out Patreon on our website for exclusive content that you won't find anywhere else. And do you have an Only One in the Room story that you'd like to share? Please send it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com.
Dear stranger, I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.